Welcome to season 4 of the Fit Farming Food Mom Podcast. Connie is a world champion powerlifter, former bodybuilder, and an elite trainer and nutrition coach. As a movement enthusiast and health nerd, she is here on this show to speak with educated guests and dive into the realm of all things health, fitness, mindset, and everything in between. If you enjoy this show, please do us a huge favor by smashing the like or subscribe button and leaving a review. Now, let's get to the show.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. As you may have noticed, my episodes have gotten kind of sporadic, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but basically I just kind of started to get a little bit burnt out. With new social media algorithm crap, my podcast was no longer being seen on social media when I released it. I haven't had enough likes and subscribers in the last year or so to make my podcast actually show up in searches. So because of that, my overall listenership has been a little bit on the low side. And after going and finding these excellent guests and doing all this work and then seeing that hardly anybody was seeing it, it became very discouraging. So I have been still trying to get good people on and keep it going, but it is really difficult, especially now where everybody wants their piece of the pie as far as financial stuff goes. And I don't know if you know anything about marketing, but basically all these platforms want you to pay them to make your podcast visible, which I'm not in a place to do that. I'm not Joe Rogan. I'm not making any money off this podcast at all. I do it just so that I can get good information out there, because it's really hard nowadays to get info out there that's good for people that they can use on their health or fitness journey or whatever it may be. There's so much contraindicated information on the internet. A lot of that stuff is curated to fit the modern narrative, which is push pharmaceuticals and doing all these things that are only making money for big pharma and insurance companies and things like that. They're not actually looking out for your health. So much of the stuff that you see on Dr. Google is not accurate. It's pushing that Western medicine narrative. And because of that, it's real hard to get good information. Now, is it hard to get good information with podcasts? Yes. That's why people need to speak up about the things that they believe in and that they have experienced, because it's huge, or could be a huge game changer for somebody that's just getting started with their journey. I know for me, that's how it went. If you don't know, somebody was talking about the GAPS diet and we jumped on it, and it changed my whole life and my family's life. So anyway, I just want to say that if you are listening today, please just take a moment, hit the pause button. I promise it won't interrupt your episode. Go over, like, subscribe on every platform that you're on. Leave a rating and review. I know it seems silly, but those things are imperative in helping this information get out to others. Also, feel free to post it on your social media, post it in your stories, tag me in it. If you share it, you're caring, it's going to keep this going. So I do appreciate that. Sorry for the little extra rambling there, but it is really important to the longevity of this podcast and also getting that information out to other people. So sharing is caring on that one. Anyway, I want to talk about some things today. Some things that I see. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time now. I've tried every diet. I've tried every kind of fitness program. I've been on the bodybuilding stage multiple times. I've powerlifted. I've done endurance sports. I've done everything. I've tried the ketogenic diet, paleo diet, GAPS diet, intermittent fasting. I've done it all, right? I've also seen it with my clients. And after probably thousands of cases now, I mean, I can't even tell you how many lab work cases I've reviewed on people and their habits and what they do. It is highly variable what works from one individual to another. But I can say this, a common thing amongst all the people that are not making progress is the fact that they want to jump into a marathon before they've ever gone for a walk. And this mentality is setting people up for failure. So what does this mean? I will give you an example. I had a client reach out to me the other day. She was just getting started with me. And she was like, I have decided that I'm going to do the AIP diet. If you don't know what the AIP diet is, it's called autoimmune protocol. This client has celiac. And it basically eliminates a ton of stuff. We're talking eggs. We're talking any processed foods, grains, dairies. Like, it leaves a very limited amount of food available to you. With that being said, this same client that wants to go on the AIP diet is binge eating and drinking alcohol and eating a lot of sweet food and doing a lot of really, making a lot of really poor nutritional choices. So I had to kind of break it down for her. I was like, you know, I will respect anything that you want to do and I will try to make something that works for you, but I don't think that this is a good choice considering you haven't actually learned how to achieve the basics first. So in my eyes, if you're going to run a marathon, you should probably start by walking a mile. What can that look like? Well, that can look like just removing processed foods in general. Like, if you don't recognize the ingredients, you probably shouldn't be eating it. And I tell people this a ton. Like, I don't know what sodium, carbon, whatever, let's make up a name here, is. I can't picture it growing on a tree. I can't see it as an animal. I really have no idea where it comes from. So I probably shouldn't be eating it. Same thing with the artificial sweetener sucralose. I have no idea what that even comes from. It's a complete chemical. Why would I put it in my body, right? But I know what sugar is. I mean, crap, it comes from a freaking cane, like, or maple syrup or honey. Like, we know where these things come from. So starting with the foundations of, can I read the ingredients? Do I know what they are? Is a great place to start. Chicken has a single ingredient. It's chicken. Celery, single ingredient, celery. You might get some yogurt. It says like pasteurized milk, and then it might list a couple of like bacterial strains like acidophilus or something like that. I mean, we all know where that stuff comes from. I mean, even if you want to get into wheat, rice, whatever it might be, it may not be paleo or AIP, but guess what? It's a real food. Now, can you get non-GMO and organic and help yourself out? You certainly can, but baby steps. Let's walk a mile before we run a marathon. That's really, really important. So let's start with some basic things. Set some basic goals. When it comes to food, maybe that's just starting to log your food and even see where you're at. Or maybe that's, okay, well, I should do 1 gram of protein per pound of lean body mass. All right, so I'm 140 pounds of lean mass. Maybe I should have 140 pounds of protein a day and don't worry about the rest. My guess is if you focus on that 140 grams of protein, you're not going to be craving all the other junk food because you're going to be full. And I get this from so many clients. We switch up their food because they were like counting macros, but they weren't really paying attention where their protein was. We switch up their food. We put whole foods together, high protein, moderate fiber, carbohydrates and fats. And guess what? They're like, I can't even eat all this. And it's not even as much as they were eating before. Like, they might've been eating 2,500 calories of processed food. We then start to feed them real meat, chicken, steak, tuna fish, eggs, egg whites, bacon. And then we start adding in vegetables. We start adding in broccoli and cauliflower and carrots and oatmeal for carbs, potatoes, fats, good quality fats like Kerrygold gutter, Kerrygold butter, ground beef. Boy, I can't say those. I wanted to mix them. Ground beef has good fat in it, or steak. I mean, you can get all these healthy proteins, fats, and carbs that are extremely satiated, and that in and of itself is going to start to kill your cravings. So I suggest starting with the basics. Let's walk a mile. Let's walk 2 miles. Let's walk 3 miles before we start to train for a marathon. Really, really important. So I think a lot of people think that they're going to be successful by setting them up with this extremely strict program. And all it does is burn them out, make them can't wait till they get done with it. And then next thing you know, like they're done. The magic 8 or 16 or 12 weeks is up that they decided they were going to do it. And next thing you know, they're eating pizza and binge eating and they can't stop because they restricted themselves for so long. So start with the basics. That's my huge, huge thing of the day here. I know with myself, I jumped into a crazy diet because I was at the point of where I needed it. So if you don't know my story, I had a kiddo that had some issues with some ADD and stuff like that. And we had tried removing dyes and things like that, and none of it was really working. And I read the book Gut and Psychology Syndrome, was super intrigued by it. We decided to try it out for 16 months and it changed our life, but it was very complicated. All right. If you don't have the discipline and drive to follow through with something that's complicated, and a lot of people are lacking that discipline and drive because clearly they don't have the discipline if they can't stay away from the pint of ice cream or the pizza or these things, right? If you don't have the discipline or drive to cut out basic things, then probably eliminating giant food groups is not a great plan. Baby steps, right? I knew we had the discipline to deal with it. I could control what's coming in and out of my family's home. I came home after going to a seminar on the GAPS diet and I emptied my whole house out. Boom. If it didn't align, it was gone and it wasn't getting purchased again. And for 16 months, we did that and it was incredible and it changed my life, but I had the discipline to do it. So you have to really evaluate when you jump into these things. Is this something that I can actually do and sustain? I knew that I needed it at that point. And after reading that book, I was like, holy shit. It's not just my kid that needs this. I probably need it too. And it literally made me feel like $1 million after feeling terrible my whole life. Like I was like, is it normal to feel this crappy? I remember thinking that even through high school, right? Well, later on, I had a Hashimoto's diagnosis. We knew a little bit more about it at that point. But that's when I started to feel great. That's when I started to work out. My workouts weren't crazy, guys. I mean, now they are probably a little bit over the top because I do that for a living. I'm an elite athlete. I want to be the best in the world. And so I perform that way. However, my fitness routine started with 3 sets of 10 bodyweight pushups, 3 sets of 10 bodyweight squats, 3 sets of crunches. Like easy. I did that for months. And then I added a kettlebell, started doing squats with a kettlebell, started doing little deadlifts with a kettlebell. It was easy stuff and I saw crazy results. Why? Because I hadn't done anything prior to that. So I didn't need to go out and become a bodybuilder overnight. What I needed to do is just cover the basics. When the basics got comfortable and I did them every day, it was like, oh, cool, I can add something. And continually I added until it manifested into something that I wanted it to manifest into. You know, I start seeing these results and I'm like, cool, I think I want to be a bodybuilder. Well, not everybody's that way. Not everybody needs to be that way, but it was a gradual thing over time. I wasn't on Instagram doing the biggest fad booty workout or 7-day cut cleanse or whatever you want to call it right off the bat. This was a gradual thing. You know, that whole set turned into bodyweight splits and it turned into all sorts of different things. And it started out, I mastered all of the basics before I added. Very, very important here, guys. Don't bite off more than you can chew because that literally leaves you feeling like a failure. And I see this over and over again in my coaching career where people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to jump into this. I'm going to do this diet. I'm going to do this. They haven't covered the basics. Guess what? Now they're bummed out. They feel like a failure. They're gaining more weight. They're binge eating. They're doing all this crazy stuff that is completely unnecessary. All they really needed to do was start eating 140 grams of protein a day and going for a walk, maybe getting in some other healthy movement, like just a couple of squats. Maybe start with that walk. And then in 3 weeks, if you can master that and you can do it every day for a half an hour, then maybe at the end of your walk, add 3 sets of 10 squats. Master that for 3 weeks, move on. Okay, I can do that. I got time for that. It's easy. Let's add some pushups to that. Let your plan build. Okay, you've been consistent with your protein now for 3 months. You're hitting 140 grams every single day. I'm just using that number because that's a good number for a lot of people, women. But you're hitting your 140 grams or your 200 grams for 3 weeks straight and you're like, dang, I feel pretty good. Maybe I should start looking at my carbs and fat. Okay, cool. Do that. Or maybe it's not even gotten to that yet. Maybe it's just completely removing processed foods, making sure you get a fist size of protein in every single meal. Set goals that you can achieve and then add on to those goals. Because by the time I get a lot of women, and I don't know how this manifested, but I never got to work with the basic client, because by the time people came to me, it was because they were in an emergency status. They had their check engine light on, either from dieting and failing for so long, or have letting their obesity get so out of control that they were now in a really critical place. I've never had that easy client. And the people that have let their obesity get out of control have a lot of mental things on the backside of that. A lot of food shame, things that make them feel like a failure already. So working on that mental aspect is huge. You do not want to set a person up like that for failure. You want to give them wins. If it is a win as much as going for a 10-minute walk, that's your win. And you want to get consistent with that win. Then it can turn into 15 and maybe some healthy movement added on to that. You do not need to start at the extreme. And that is a common problem now. So if I can leave you with one thing today, start with the basics if you're just wanting to get started. It doesn't matter how you start, but just start. Make a plan, put it on paper, follow it. Once you master that plan, because you made it easy, right? It's like brushing your teeth. I don't really love to brush my teeth. I'm going to be real with you. I mean, it feels great afterwards, right? You're accomplished, but there are nights when you're tired and you just don't feel like doing it and you want to fall asleep without doing it. But what do? Well, hopefully you're going and brushing your teeth. It's not the funnest thing, but it's a habit that we do every single day. Same with other things. I mean, I personally like showers, but some people don't. I don't know. There are things that we do that we don't want to do. How about going to our jobs? How many people do you talk to that hate their job? They dread it every day, but they go because they have to, right? So if you kind of make a mental switch and be like, okay, I'm going to go for that 10-minute walk, or okay, I'm going to hit this 140 grams of protein, and you make it happen, then add after that. So that's a huge thing. Another thing I do want to talk about, though, on the other side of that is, yes, we want to set sustainable goals, but fitting those goals into your life is very, very important. So a little side story, a guy at the gym, he's an old school bodybuilder, really entertaining guy. He's in his 80s. He wears the Ronnie Coleman pants and everything. It's great. And the cutoff stringers. I mean, the guy's awesome. Gold chains. But he's got a lot of heart conditions and things like that. And we were talking and he was like, Connie, he's like, what does your family eat? And I was like, well, they eat exactly what I eat. And he was like, they do? And I was like, yeah, you know, I said, I want them to eat healthy too. This is not something where I'm feeding myself health food and then I'm having them eat fruit roll-ups and TV dinners. Like, it doesn't work that way. I cook it, they eat it. And basically they know that it's going to be like basic stuff, chicken, broccoli, and rice. Or sometimes I'll make a fancy recipe, but for the most part, we've got a couple kinds of different protein, whether it's diced chicken or shredded chicken or some ground beef or some steak. We have all those things in tubs in our refrigerator ready to go. And we have rice, chopped up sweet potatoes, chopped up regular potatoes, all in the fridge ready to go. My family grabs that out and they eat it, because not only am I setting a standard for myself, I'm setting a standard for them. And so then that kind of turned into, he goes, well, does your husband work out with you? And I was like, no, not really. We're at kind of different workout levels. My husband's running Spartan races. He's out doing all of these other things. He's big into running. I'm not big into running. We don't work out together. When we raced dirt bikes, we didn't race dirt bikes together. It just, we don't train well together. But he's like, man, I always thought it would be really cool, because then they would know what you were actually doing and that what it meant to you and like all these things. And anyhow, I don't know how we got into the conversation, but his name's Billy. I was like, Billy, I know this sounds terrible, but fitness is my number one thing. I said, and it may seem selfish to some. I said, but my powerlifting goals are my number one thing. And he was kind of taken back by that for a second. But then I elaborated. I was like, listen, I said, in order for me to take really good care of my husband and my kids and my family, I need to be at 100% mentally, physically, emotionally. If I'm not out achieving my goals and doing what I need to do for myself, I can't show up for my family on a mental level, you know? So for example, if I'm not out chasing my goals and I'm not happy with what I'm doing, and I don't have a purpose, then how am I going to teach them their purpose? How am I going to instruct them with their mental, physical, and spiritual health if mine is in the dumpster? So to me, the very first part of that is having myself right. I can't be there for my husband if myself is not right. I can't be there for my kids if myself is not right. I need to go out and do what's good for me. And my passion is powerlifting. It's being the best that I can be at that. And I have some major powerlifting goals, and it's the number one. It comes before anything. But by making that priority and it coming before anything, I can show up for my family at 100% because I'm taking good care of myself. And a lot of people miss that, especially some moms, right? I see a lot of moms out there. They put themselves on the back burner. They're depressed. They're worn out. They can't take care of themselves. They have no goals. They feel like their passion has been taken. And then they're afraid to go do things for themselves because they need to take care of their family. Well, while I completely respect wanting to take care of your family, how good are you taking care of your family if you're not at 100% yourself? So that's a really important thing, I think, that a lot of women in particular aren't doing. And I see it in men too. I mean, my husband, I'm always trying to kick him in gear because he wants to put everybody first. And I'm like, listen, you got to take care of yourself. Like, how are you going to be if you're not at 100%? So really important. Also, put yourself in your dang calendar. Make time for yourself. You make time to go to work every day. You make time to take your kids to the soccer games. You don't miss those. You make time to go to a doctor's appointment if you need to, and you show up for that. Why can't you do that for meal prep or going to the gym or even personal time? Set aside 20 minutes and read. It doesn't have to be 3 hours, but make sure you're actually doing it. Don't have an excuse as to why you can't. Oh, well, things got busy today and I couldn't go to the gym for 20 minutes, or I couldn't go on that 10-minute walk that I'm starting with to create my habits. Well, why couldn't you? Because I can tell you that I have a schedule that is strictly laid out. And when somebody wants to get in somewhere, and like, it doesn't matter if it's a client, it doesn't matter what it is, I have 3 days a week, my gym time is blocked out. If something needs to happen, nothing is happening in those spots. It's no different than my job. It's no different than that dentist appointment. It's no different than that soccer game. So all of these things are laid out so that I can actually do them, and is very important. So I hear nonstop people don't have time, but they make time to get on social media. Like, what does your social, like your screen time look like on your phone? They make time to do Netflix, right? Like, they make time to do the things that are important. If you want to do something, you will make time to do the things that are important. You won't have an excuse sitting behind it. If you feel the passion and you really want it to happen, you're going to do what you can to make it happen. I see this with financial stuff, with coaching people all the time. I get that we have responsibilities. We have to pay our house payment. We have to get groceries. We have to do all these things. Listen, I'm no millionaire. I mean, contrary to what people might think, that I'm like rolling around in the dough and I'm staying at home and I get to do what I want, I'm actually quite busy. I work a lot more than I ever did at a day job. And it was actually funny because I was driving the other day, and I think a lot when I'm driving, and I was like, man, I sure miss having a day job, because my day job was amazing. It was consistent. It was certain hours every single day. I did the same thing. It was like Groundhog Day. Now things are all over the place. I don't know when I'm going to have clients. I don't know what's going on, but I do have some solids. I have my gym time blocked out. I have the time to pick my kids blocked out. I have all of the things that are really important blocked out, and I'm not rich either. So people think I'm rich. I invest. I can tell you it's a scary amount of money into powerlifting and reaching my goals right now. It's a scary amount. And I travel once a month, 7 hours in each direction to go train with my coach. That's not cheap. Getting hotel rooms, paying him the time off from working with clients. So it's a huge thing for me. But, and can I swing it? Probably not. I mean, back in the day, I would have looked back at that and I would have been like, whoa, there's no way I can do this. But what do? I hustle as hard as I can to make that extra money so that I can do it, because it means so much to me. And when things begin to mean a lot to you, you don't let things stand in your way of getting where you want to go. You find a way. And you know that you find a way, because you find a way to pay your house payment. You find a way to buy your groceries. Like, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like, I'd love to have some fingernails, or take care of myself in some other way aside from fitness, but I can't. It's not an option for me because it's not a priority, and powerlifting is. Spend my money on that, you know? I don't have a bunch of TV subscriptions. I don't pay for a lot of extra things because I want to power lift. I want to drive 7 hours to see my coach. I go above and beyond to make shit happen. And if things are important to you, you will do that too. There will be a no way this is not going to work mentality. Does it mean I have to work a little bit extra on my job? Heck yeah, it does. I have to hustle nonstop until I can take a breather and I can go to Portland and I can train with my coach and my team, right? But my point here is if things are priority, you make them happen. You make groceries happen. You make house payments happen. You make doctor visits happen. You make a lot of things happen. Make yourself happen too. That's extremely important. So anyway, don't make excuses. I hear a lot of people justifying why they can't do something. It can be as little as I had a client tell me the other day that she smashed her fingers and couldn't go to the gym. And I was like, you're kidding me. You've got 3 other limbs. I literally worked out for 6 months while my shoulder was healing with one arm. If I had to, I asked people to adjust machines. I mean, no excuses. Don't make it so easy to justify your crappy behavior. It's like, oh, I went to McDonald's because I couldn't find any good food and I was in a hurry. Well, how much longer did it take you to go through McDonald's and spend $20 on a McDonald's meal? You could have gone into the store, found, I mean, there's several healthy TV dinner options now. I know that sounds crazy, but they're a whole lot better than McDonald's. Or go in and get a rotisserie chicken, or go into the deli and get some baked freaking chicken breasts and eat that with some steamed veggies. Like, these things can happen. I literally had a client the other day. She's like, well, Connie, I really didn't know what to do. So I went through the Del Taco drive-thru and I asked them if I could just have a bowl of only grilled chicken. Is it optimal? Probably not, but it's certainly better than just saying, oh, I couldn't reach my goal. So here's my excuse to go binge eat on a bunch of shit that I know is not going to support my goals. I mean, that's what I hear when I hear people tell me that. Here's my excuse, blah, blah, blah. All I see is your lips moving. I didn't see the solution. I didn't see the try to get the solution. I didn't see the, hey, coach, I'm in a pinch right now. What could I do? I didn't see any of that. What I saw was the excuse. So put some effort into not justifying poor behavior and also holding yourself accountable. Yes, we get in pinches. Yes, things are not optimal. But can we do something that is maybe less than optimal, but better than just using it as an excuse to go do something that you is not going to fit your goals. Hopefully that makes sense. Anyway, I love you all. I thank you for tuning in week after week when I have these. I'm doing my best to get this podcast up and running again and getting fun conversations on here. Do me a solid by going and leaving a rating and a review. Written reviews are fantastic. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe on like Apple Podcast, share it on your Instagram or your Facebook or whatever it may be, because those things are really important and you don't know how much of an impact they're actually making. It's huge. So I appreciate each and every one of you. Hopefully you enjoyed my breather episode today, and thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in. To learn more about me, my online programs, or to inquire about coaching, please visit www.connienightingale.com. And remember, nothing in the contents of this show is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness, and it is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult with your primary care physician before implementing any new health protocols.